The Team Awesome Morning Party Podcast, brought to you by Persecuted, in theaters July 18th. More info online at persecutedmovie.com and get your tickets now at fandango.com.
From Millennium Entertainment, what if standing for your faith stood in the way of evil?
Cannot water down the gospel to advance anybody's political agenda.
Evangelist John Luther opposes the sweeping religious reform in America and is framed for murder to silence him. Now a fugitive, his mission brings him face to face with the coming storm of persecution that will threaten the Christian community. Persecuted, starring Fred Thompson, James Remar, and Natalie Grant. Rated PG-13. Parents strongly cautioned. In theaters July 18th.
May I have your attention, please?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Ready.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah!
Wednesday.
I mean,
yeah.
Watch out for that
Sorry,
guy.
Sorry, Tyler.
Did he ever answer?
No. Well. It's okay. It's all right, man. We still love you.
Come on, Tyler.
If you missed it yesterday, check out our podcast, mystaticradio.com. Kicking off the show right, Team Awesome Morning Party. Sponsored in part by Persecuted, in theaters July 18th. More info at persecutedmovie.com. Or check out our Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can check out the trailer there. And coming up today, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
The director of Persecuted, Daniel Lesko. He's going to be in studio with us hanging out. We're really, really excited about that. So we'll be talking to him about the film, which
is cool.
Coming out in a week.
It's a cool interview. We don't want y'all to miss it.
Yeah, we're really excited. So, haven't seen the movie yet.
Nope.
It releases July 18th, as we said. We'll actually be in L.A.
Ooh.
Next week.
Oh, Mr. Big Shot's over there.
On my birthday.
Yeah.
Gonna be covering the premiere in L.A., so we are gonna have lots and lots of interviews. The guest list is super fresh, so hoping to chat with some of these awesome people.
Yeah.
So, anyways, looks like we got a phone call.
I wonder who it could be.
Static.
It is Matthew from Albuquerque.
That's what
I
thought.
That's
what I thought.
Dude, first phone call of the day.
It's always you.
Yep. Unless I'm on my off week or I sleep in. Yep.
Yes.
Yes, how are you guys doing this morning?
Fantastic.
That's good. I heard you guys are going to be out in L.A. next week.
Oh, yes. When did you hear that?
Yeah, going to be in L.A.
Well, I was on hold after I had spoken with Doug.
Doug.
And I hear you guys say something about L.A.
Yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah.
I wish I was in L.A.
Well, next Wednesday is my birthday, so.
Oh, nice. Happy early birthday, Steve-O.
Thanks, man. 7 days from today. I'll be turning 27.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
No.
Nice. Hey, birthdays are always fun, guys, you know?
No, they're not. They're the worst.
Oh, yeah, he's not a birthday guy. He grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, even if you don't have any more fun or you don't do anything fun for your birthday, the only important thing is that you're with your family on your birthday.
Ah, yes. I'll actually be in L.A. with Matt and not my family on my birthday,
what
so
if
thanks.
My family's a bunch of loonies.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in L.A., and I'm not even going to see my family on my birthday. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you guys think his family's a celebrity, well, guess what? This is going to sound weird. I'm a Denver Broncos fan at my house. My dad's a Dallas Cowboys fan. My mom and sister are 49ers fans.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you guys can imagine how crazy things get around football season, especially when my mom sees her team not doing so well. Let me just say this, guys. Everybody out there knows my mom. She didn't already know this, but yes, she is crazy. He's real rowdy when it comes to football games.
That's crazy.
Yeah. How are you the best topic conversation changer of all time?
Hey, you know what, guys? It's called having practice.
Oh, I thought it was called something
It works
else.
A lot with, you know, school and, you know, it'll come in handy here and there, but, you know.
Okay.
And this reminds me. I was going to ask you guys this yesterday, but I forgot. Steve-O, did you guys know out there I do license plate flexing?
What? No, like in prison?
Well, it's kind of like this, but the nice thing is that I actually am from souvenir shops out in California when I'm out there on a vacation. Or I order them through, like, a company that buys them directly from the Department of Motor Vehicles. And then sometimes, if I'm lucky, I find them in the ditch. But if I find one in the ditch, I don't just grab it right away and take it.
You got to watch out for the ditch witch.
Yes, yes. Ditches are deadly. Stay away.
And, you know what? Actually, my dad has this long metal pole with a hook on the end of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We use, like, fish things out of the gutter if we have to.
Does that guard him against the ditch witch? Does she get repelled by, like, metal?
I guess, guys, yeah. Anyway, so I said, before I take any plate from the ditch, I immediately call the Department of Motor Vehicle and make sure it's not reported missing.
Ah.
If the plate's reported missing, half the time what they'll do is they'll just reissue the owner who lost that plate a brand new plate.
That's good.
And they're like, you know what, you found a plate, you can keep it. So
it's kind of you to call the DMV.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, you're doing your due diligence.
If it was me, guys, I would want somebody else to call DMV and say, hey, there's a New Mexico plate with such and such license plate number. Is this somebody looking for the plate? Well, what's the case? And then if I need to get that plate back, the person can easily ship it to them and I can go pick it up.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah, so I just think that's the right thing to do, guys, is to always call the appropriate person or appropriate business to report something missing, because if something you have missing, such as your cell phone, you would want somebody to return it, right?
Truth! I probably wouldn't want them to call me on it, though, because then I'd get kind of mad.
It'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, I do have to admit, though, guys.
What can we play for you today?
Oh, this morning, let's see, you guys have any new bands I have not heard of?
Yes. Johnny Swim.
We have a ton of them. Check out this band called Johnny Swim.
Bayside. Lots.
Let's see. Mateo, I'm going to have you pick the band and the song this morning.
Like,
let's see what you got.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, Matthew. All
right. Love you. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right,
bye.
Buddy.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, dedicated to Matthew. This is Johnny Swim.
We got phone calls,
no,
though.
No, ignore him.
Oh, I can't.
No, I'm kidding. Okay.
Oh, I can't.
Who is it? Hello?
Hey, there, man.
Hey.
Steve-O.
Yeah.
Hey, birthday next week. Same here. July 16th, brother.
Yeah!
I remember.
The twins!
I remember you guys had birthdays at the same time last year, too.
We did?
No, I wasn't in Albuquerque last year. This is actually Ron from Phoenix.
Ron from Phoenix!
But your birthday was the same.
No, I drive a truck. I come into Albuquerque 3 days a week, and next Wednesday I'm going to take the day off, spend the day with my wife, and so I thought I'd say happy birthday now.
Happy birthday, man. Yeah. That's cool.
Of course, I'm turning 50, so I'm old enough to be your father.
Pretty
close.
You got busy really young, buddy.
Interesting mystery.
Yeah.
The Ron from Phoenix. I'm the guy that last week you said needs psychological help because I wanted the axe that Jack Nicholson used in The Shining.
Yeah.
Proud of you for admitting that.
I'm that sicko.
That's cool, man.
Hey, before you let me go, I wanted to say for several months now, because I've been driving this route back and forth, Phoenix to Albuquerque, for about 8 months now.
Okay.
And, that Matt, or not Matt, Matt from Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Matthew.
He's just one good kid. If you're still listening, Matt, I just want to say you're an upstanding young man.
He's a great kid.
And if I had a son, I'd be happy if he was just a good guy like that. He's going to be a great leader someday.
Yeah. Dude, amen to that.
Yeah. So just wanted to bless him with a little encouragement there and say hi to you guys. And you guys crack me up 3 days a week, and I try to listen when I'm at home on the app.
There you go.
Thank you, Ron.
That's awesome, Ron. Thank you so much.
Happy birthday.
Right on. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, man.
See you guys.
Later. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Ron from Phoenix.
We should have ignored that phone call.
Stop it.
I'm just kidding.
That was so awesome.
That was good.
That's cool. It's always, you never.
Matthew's got a following.
You don't think about that. The fact that people driving through pick you up and then they just, they keep you. So thanks for keeping us, Ron, from Phoenix.
Thanks for picking us up like hitchhikers and keeping us.
It was good. It worked out way better for us than The Hitcher. Did you ever see that movie?
Hitchhiker Guy? I lived that movie.
Oh.
I lived that movie.
Oh.
I was that guy.
Oh, no, you weren't.
Yes, I was. I've
His
killed 40 people.
Got ripped in half? Oh,
I've killed a lot of people
gosh.
In this world. I call it population control. Some people call it
you know, what they call it murder. I don't agree.
Gosh.
But I feel like it's a worthy pursuit.
The views and opinions expressed by Matthew are not the views and opinions
of Steve-O. Yes, they are. They are of Steve-O, and they are of Static Radio, and they are of Doug. Everybody claims it. Everybody claims it. Everybody was thinking it. I said it.
This one's going out to Matthew from Albuquerque and Ron from Phoenix because he will be home next week with his bride for his birthday, which is July 16th. Johnny Swim, the band, the song is called Home.
Nice.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Dateline, July 9th, 2014. 1.6 billion is the number of the day.
Wow.
Dollars spent on tattoos each year.
Are you serious?
In the U.S. That's not even the world.
1.6 billion?
Yep.
Gosh.
Crazy.
It's crazy to see the culture of tattoos now. Christy and I were watching some TV late last night. We're like, I can't sleep. Let's watch some mindless television.
Okay.
And a local news station here, I can't remember which one, is doing a huge feature on New Mexico tattoo salons. Hmm. I was like, this is weird, right?
Yeah.
Tattoo parlor.
They're definitely not taboo anymore.
Yeah.
You can get tattoos and nobody cares. Doug, you gonna get a tattoo? Doug says he's getting a tattoo.
He got his first one, remember?
No,
the little...
No. He's gonna get a real one.
Oh, okay.
You're gonna get a real, aren't
just
you, Doug?
Totally said that one wasn't real, so sorry, buddy.
Why is your other tattoo not real?
I don't know.
Why didn't you just get a real one the first time?
He doesn't think about stuff like that, man.
He's probably trying to protect Shannon.
Ah. Gotcha.
Decades ago, the fossil of a giant bird was discovered, but the evidence was filed away and essentially forgotten. Now researchers are investigating the fascinating creature. It's the largest bird known to have ever existed, with a giant wingspan of 24 feet.
Whoa!
It's a huge bird. That's a huge bird.
That's a pretty big bird, yes.
Yep. Big bird.
Big bird.
TV cameras captured North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un limping. He is limping. He is weak. He is weak.
Stop it.
Now's
right
our
now.
Chance.
Stop it right now.
Now is the time.
Dude, I'm still freaking out that they're like taking a decisive action if that stupid Seth Rogen movie comes out.
What's the decisive? Are they going to get him a cane?
I don't know.
Is that the decisive
action?
I don't
know.
J.K. Rowling has put a new story online that includes Harry Potter. Harry's now 34 with streaks of gray in his hair. They're at the Quidditch World Cup. I read a small little excerpt from it.
Was it cool?
It's a 1,500-word short story, including Harry and Ron, and I think Hermione's in it. Pretty cool. It's just a little glimpse into Harry's future. A man was arrested at the Detroit airport with a knife in his shoe. Is that not every day at the Detroit airport? Is that not just Detroit?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't your shoes, you buy a new pair of shoes in Detroit, and they come with like an extra pair of shoelaces and an assortment of knives and weapons?
Got me.
That's what I thought. That's what Bill told me. According to a new travel survey, the most desired place people would like to visit is Australia. That's my number one place I want
to
visit.
I would love to visit Australia.
Yep. I wish I could. I wish there was somebody in this world that would bring me to Australia. Even just by myself. We don't have to bring Dawn or Beans or Panda or Steve-O or
what?
Doug. Just me, by myself.
Oh.
I'll come to Australia by myself.
Cool, man. John Locke. Yeah,
I'll go,
yeah, fun, man.
I'll go swim with the sharks.
Yeah, go ahead, walk about.
I know about John Locke.
Yeah.
I'll go swim with the sharks and die. Second greatest death. Eaten by a great white shark in a shark cage, like on Jaws. I'll do it. Two men in New York were taken into custody for flying their drone too close to a New York Police Department helicopter.
Ooh.
Drones are getting all over the news lately.
Yeah, dude.
Drones are doing better than people. Another house cat has gone berserk, attacking family members and forcing them into the bathroom in Florida. We saw this happen one time, and then we saw a cat beat up a dog that was trying to eat a little boy.
Yep.
And now we're back to cats chasing people in the bathroom.
That's because it's Florida. They've been sniffing all them cat salts.
Oh, cat salts. bath salts. A large sculpture of Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and broke into a zillion pieces at an amusement park in Oregon after two men accidentally dislodged it when they posed for a photo with it.
Oh, man. Irony. I would love to have been there.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Humpty Dumpty, he wasn't fuzzy, was he?
No.
Yep.
That's good. That's
Rolls-Royce reports that sales are bigger than ever thanks to the growth in the number of people who are fabulously wealthy. Fabulously wealthy. Wish I was one of those growing number of people.
Next week, we're going to be in L.A. for this film premiere. Yep. And so I was like, oh, I got to like buy nice clothes. So I went to a place to buy nice clothes, and I was standing there in flip-flops. I had slacks on and slacks. Like a nice shirt, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
A shirt you gave me, so it's a nice shirt.
Nice shirt.
And I was surrounded by all these like business class dudes who were already in big old 3-piece suits, like looking really sharp. And I felt like an idiot,
yep,
trying to shop for a suit, watching them. So it was like Pretty Woman. I was just standing there, like trying to figure out what to do next.
I wish one of those men would have taken an interest in you and really just help you get off the streets.
I know, man.
I wish they would have bought you everything you wanted and just whisked you off your feet. Chrissy would have been standing there the whole time going, "What is happening?" And you just said, "I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I think I'm in a movie."
Yep.
My dreams are coming true.
It would have been a beautiful love story. And it didn't happen.
Oh, man.
Selfish businessmen of today.
I'm going to look cool next week, though.
Yeah, you are. It looks like Rosie O'Donnell is returning to The View.
Boring.
Yeah. You watch The View?
No, dude.
Yeah.
I do not watch it every day.
When you get whisked away by that businessman,
yeah,
you're going to have to start every day.
It's between that and that. Man, I was trying to crack a joke. I don't even know the
Martha
other
Stewart home.
No, there's another one that's like The View. It's like other girls, and they just sit there and they just talk.
Is it that after the Today Show, the one with Kathy Lee on it?
Oh, no.
What's that other girl? Is it Hoda or something?
Yeah. No.
It's that one?
It's got like Sarah Gilbert from Roseanne.
I'll tell you about Kathy Lee and Hoda. The reason they think they're so funny because
they're drunk. At 9 a.m.
They're drunk.
It's ridiculous.
Those
man.
Little cups.
Yeah.
That's not coffee at
oh,
all.
Oh no, they straight pour wine.
That's like whiskey and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what I do here.
Stop it right now, gosh. You
right?
Are in rare form today.
I do this about twice a week. This is not rare. We need a new expression.
That's true. This is a twice-a-week form. You are in twice-a-week form.
Germany blew out Brazil in the World Cup Tuesday.
Gosh, 7-1.
7-1.
7 goals against Brazil in their home country.
I saw that Ricky Gervais tweeted something, and it was a World War II, well, post-World War II reference.
Oh.
He said, "This isn't the first time some Germans have had to lay low in Brazil after something." It was funny. But then I thought,
probably
shouldn't say that on the air. It could offend people.
Yeah.
So I didn't.
Yeah, it's
a man died in an eating contest over the 4th of July holiday. Walter Eagle Tail. What? Was in the midst of a hot dog eating contest in Custer, South Dakota. When the competition took a tragic turn, the man choked on one of the hot dogs, and people at the scene immediately jumped in to try to help him. Paramedics did arrive quickly, but Eagle Tail, died after being transported to a nearby hospital. The contest was sponsored by the Custer Chamber of Commerce, and the pie eating contest slated for Friday was canceled. That sucks.
Yeah.
Eating contest. Hot dogs. Death by hot dog. No fun.
We've seen some weird deaths this week.
Lots of weird deaths.
Okay.
Lots of them. Whoa. Police in Mount Vernon, Washington killed an agitated Angus cow that rampaged through the town. The cow apparently escaped from a farm outside the city limits and slipped past city police and county sheriff's deputies when they were trying to keep it out of the street and away from a nearby wedding. When the officers tried to catch it a few blocks away, it charged an officer, tossing him into the air.
Dang.
He wasn't seriously hurt, but the cow escaped again by jumping on the hood of a patrol car, trotting across it, and running off. Police and the cow's owner finally agreed it might need to be killed to prevent further injury or damage, and an officer shot the animal.
Oh, so sad.
Yep.
Let's see.
All they had to do was move.
Okay. This is so bad.
New data collected by NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft has helped scientists confirm that the far-flung probe is indeed cruising through interstellar space. Cool. Voyager 1 made headlines around the world last year when mission scientists announced that the probe had left the heliosphere, the huge bubble of charged particles and magnetic fields surrounding the sun, in August 2012. Scientists have been pretty confident that Voyager 1 has moved into interstellar space, but additional data now confirms that she got there for sure just under 2 years ago. She is outside. So our solar system has this heliosphere, it's this giant bubble.
Okay.
That our whole solar system is in.
I'm mostly tracking.
So way, way out. It's crazy. It's like
She's
a big bubble
Space Nine.
Of charged particles. So not like a bubble that we would think.
Right.
That's probably the closest analogy we have.
Okay.
So she has gone away from the bubble. She's way out. She is like Star Trek in this junk.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No man has gone before. No probe has gone before. Voyager.
Deep Space Nine. They're gonna make first contact. Another Star Trek analogies, but we don't watch Star Trek, so we don't know.
Nope. Oh no, this sounds crazy. A typo let a violent inmate out of jail early in a strange case out of New Orleans. Isaiah Spencer is actually the second inmate this week to be released from prison early due to an error.
Wow.
Spencer was in jail after he beat his girlfriend so badly she needed her spleen removed.
Okay.
Classy guy. He was sentenced to 33 months in prison for his heinous crime.
That's it?
I guess so. Whoever put the information about Spencer left off at 3, and he was released from jail 3 months into serving his sentence. And then just like that, he was back out on the streets. He still has not been caught.
Ugh.
Woo. It's unknown whether or not Orleans Parish Police will be investigated since there were 2 errors this week alone.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Nolens.
Nolens, what y'all doing?
I watched Justified. I know how it works in the South.
That's right. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
A 9-year-old girl in Minnesota thought the constant marijuana smoke at her house was having a negative effect on her pet dogs. So she went to the police station and turned in her parents' illegal operation.
Nice!
9 years old, hero.
Good job, hero girl.
She said, no, you guys probably hurt my puppies. I'm out.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Let me ask you something. Doug, you can participate just with your head nod. If I told you guys which one kills you faster, smoking or obesity, what would you say?
Well, now I would say obesity.
Why?
Because I would have said smoking, but I feel like it's a trick question. What about you, Doug? You same thing? Obesity? Yeah.
If you have a choice, choose smoking. But why should you choose smoking? Because a new study says obesity can cut a person's lifespan more than cigarettes.
That's crazy.
Yep.
How about just not do either?
Just don't be fat. The study found that those who die 6.5 to 13.5 years earlier than those with a healthy weight. Obesity. It'll get you. Non-obese smokers, however, live a bit longer. What happened?
Oh, man.
When I said don't be fat?
Yes!
Well, that's what obesity is.
Dude, rare form.
No, it's not rare. Seriously. We
gotta
let
that... Twice a week form, man.
Yeah, there we go.
Twice a week form.
That's interesting.
Speaking of form, I've been watching a lot of American Ninja Warrior or something like that.
Yeah.
The boys love it.
Yeah, that show's crazy. So we've been
watching. I'm like, I gotta do this. I gotta do CrossFit with Teo. I've been thinking.
Man.
Call Nick. You tell him.
I'm not...
Tell
this
him
is
I
up
said
to you.
That.
I'm not making your
really
decision.
You're
gonna
do
it.
I don't wanna do it.
You're gonna do it.
I don't wanna do it.
Call Nick. You tell him that I'm still thinking about it. Okay, I'll tell him you're still putting it off. Oh, man.
4 p.m. just seems so late to work.
It's pretty hot. It's hot. It's the hottest part of the day out here. At home, the hottest part of the day was around 2 p.m.
Okay.
Here, it is just hot.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I enjoy it. Police in Georgia are trying to figure out why 3 men walked into a CVS pharmacy and stole $2,000 in soap and other personal care items. Soap. Thieving soap. And in our final little bit of breaking news, because everybody's upset, a man in Sweden faces charges for illegal weapons possession after building a crossbow to protect himself from vampires.
Okay.
The man has a history of weapons violations, and police were on their way to pick him up for a trial relating to a breach of knife laws. But upon entering his apartment, they discovered that a crossbow with arrow at the ready was pointing straight at the door. The man had earlier written on his Facebook page, "Today I'm going to go out and kill vampires."
Okay.
So if you go to your friend's house in Sweden, remember that you could walk into an ambush.
Gosh.
Vampire style. There's construction at I-25 in Paseo. And it looks like... oh, what is this? Ah, roads closed. Coors Boulevard North at Rio Bravo.
Uh-huh.
I wish this would just... there we go. At Rio Bravo Boulevard Southwest. And it looks like that... man, yeah, there's a lot of... it's down to 1 mile an hour. I guess they just closed the road.
Okay, good.
So don't go...
Coors and Rio Bravo.
Yeah, Coors and Rio Bravo. It's closed. I wonder if there was an accident or something.
That looks bad.
It does look bad.
Yeah.
That's your look at traffic, because now it's time for birthdays with Doug!
What? Hello.
Hey, Doug.
Good morning, Dougie.
Good morning. Today, there's birthdays, and then there's birthdays, and that's what we got today.
Oh, yes.
Today is July 9th, 2014, day 190. There are 175 days remaining, wasting no time.
No time.
First up, he was in Tommy Boy, Summer Catch,
David Spade,
To Catch a Killer,
Rob Lowe,
Cocoon, Semi-Tough, and he was in First Blood.
Brian Dennehy.
Brian Dennehy.
Yes.
Brian Dennehy.
I was singing Rambo. I'm like, okay, who was in Rambo that was in Tommy Boy?
Rambo.
Only Brian Dennehy.
Brian Dennehy.
The dad.
Yes,
from
that's
Tommy
what I figured.
Boy. Brian Dennehy, bruh. Yeah, bruh.
Man, he had a...
he's so tough, bruh. He's really old now, bruh. He's still a good dude, bruh.
73.
75.
He is 76 today.
So close.
Doug.
Next up, he's known for movies in the 70s, but mostly
Shaft.
Shaft.
Talking about Shaft.
Yep. Richard Roundtree.
Yes. Yeah, right. It's not what it says. It says a cuss word. And I'll say it in 3 seconds. Unless somebody else starts talking.
So it's Shaft's birthday today.
Nice. He's a bad mother. Shut your mouth. I'm talking about Shaft. Shaft.
How old is he?
Did you ever see the remake of Shaft with Samuel L. Jackson?
No, I didn't watch it.
And Christian Bale was in it?
No. Christian Bale was in that?
Yeah, Christian Bale was like the snotty rich kid that was like, yeah, I'm the bad guy, but not I'm the snotty rich kid. My name's Chad Bryan, dude, whatever.
Chad Brad Bryan?
Yeah, that guy.
Chad Brad Bryan!
Roundtree.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Movies in the 70s.
Shaft is 60.
So you know
no, 71.
That was 40 years ago. If Shaft was 30, that's a good guess, buddy. 72 years old.
He is 72 years old
Yay!
Today.
Because I sang the song.
Song.
Next up, the original member of the NWO, WCW,
Scott Hall.
WWE.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash.
Yeah! What was his name in the WWE before
he was
that?
Diesel.
Diesel. Yeah. Yeah. And then he came over and he was Kevin Nash.
And then he came back and he was Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you found it.
Oh, I did.
New World Order.
This is actually my ringtone, too, by the way.
Doug!
Stop it right
yes,
now.
It is.
You're Doug. In the Illuminati?
Yeah.
Nice.
Gosh.
That's cool, man.
Hulk Hogan brought me in.
Kevin
like
Nash
it.
Was also in Punisher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Longest Yard.
Yeah.
A couple of made-for-TV films.
Yeah. Kevin Nash is 50.
49.
He is 55 years old today.
Dang, dude.
Kevin Nash is old and tall.
Football!
Former NFL running back. And alleged murderer. Double murderer.
Ray Finkel.
And he's currently serving time in jail right now.
Lieutenant
for stealing back.
O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
Yeah! The glove doesn't fit. It simply doesn't fit.
Ornthal, Jay Simpson.
He was in the Naked Gun movies.
It wasn't OJ that drove that Bronco that day. It was guilt.
Gosh. OJ is 51.
54.
He is 67 years old.
I mean, or 67.
Wow.
You know? People getting old.
Time always
catches up. Dude, speaking of old. Oh.
Don't make me old.
Courtney Love?
Yes.
Oh. I'm all I want to be.
Yeah.
Hey, so glad you could make it now.
Courtney Love is in her 40s.
Yeah.
48.
44.
She is the big 5-0 today.
Whoa!
50 years old.
Dang, dude. Love is 50. Jack White.
Yes.
Oh, Jared Petro's celebrating somewhere right now.
Yes. We need to add something from that new record. I want to hear the new record. I think he's like 39.
41.
He is 39 years old today.
Ah, you got two.
You got two, man. It's by the power of Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh!
Wait, Batman?
Is this Toby?
Nope.
No, this Andrew Garfield?
Nope.
Emma Stone.
Oh, is this the new Spider-Man?
He's been in such films as The Bourne Identity, American Beauty, The Town, The Kingdom,
Chris Cooper. Sirian.
Yes.
Chris Cooper. Okay.
Good old Normie Osborne. Ugh, that movie, though. He is 53.
56.
Today he is 63 years old.
Maniacal laugh.
He's getting on up there.
Maniacal laugh.
Maniacal laugh.
Ooh, what? Berlin.
Yes. Next up, an American actress.
Molly Ringwald.
Kelly McGillis.
Yes, Kelly McGillis.
What is this from?
Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Yeah, dude. Top Gun. I'll probably see the remake.
Kelly McGillis! Oh, snap, dude.
Boom, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
7-year-old me is stoked right now.
Yeah.
Top Gun. Top Gun.
That movie, though.
It's amazing.
We still need to see Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise fans.
Yep. Doug, did you see that yet?
No.
We do need to see that.
Yeah, we do.
We just recently discovered something called the Dollar Theater, where we don't have to pay as much.
Look out!
We do have to deal with people talking, crappier quality sound, and, you know.
Yeah. But it's not the worst.
It's not the worst. Kelly McGillis is 52 years old.
53.
She is 57 years old today.
Dang, dude. I gotta lie
so
down.
Old.
Okay.
She's so old.
Man, it is a birthday.
That's what he said. He said it was mighty.
Next up, American actor, director, and producer of television and film. Best known for his role as Kevin Arnold.
Oh!
In The Wonder Years.
Oh, what's his name? Oh, wait. Fred Savage.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Also known for being Ben Savage's brother.
Yeah.
No.
When this boy meets world.
anywhere.
Vice versa. Hey, Judge Reinhold, Fred Savage.
Fred Savage.
He was in Little Monsters, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
He's also in The Princess Bride.
Oh, yes, he was.
He was also in Monster Squad, right?
No. I swear it was Little Monsters.
No, he was in Little Monsters.
He was in Monster Squad?
I thought, was he not the main kid in Monster Squad, or was that a different kid?
No, it was a different kid. He wasn't the main kid. Fred Savage is 40.
This is gonna be a, it's gonna be for real. 41.
He is 38 years old today.
I almost went with 38.
My bad, y'all.
Dang.
And the last birthday. Just stifle yourselves.
Okay.
An American actor, producer, writer, and director, best known for his roles in Big, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Saving Private Ryan, You've Got Mail, The Green Mile,
Goosebumps,
Castaway,
right there, Goosebumps,
The Da Vinci Code,
That's good.
Captain Phillips,
How are we just
Saving
talking
Mr.
About
Banks,
one of the greatest actors,
The Polar Express,
yeah,
and as Woody in Toy Story.
Tim Allen, I'm kidding.
It is Tom Hanksgiving.
Tom Hanksgiving, everyone.
Oh, happy Hanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Hanksgiving.
Oh, it's Tom Hanks' birthday.
Hooray!
There's no crying in baseball. Dang, dude. Tom Hanks.
There's a
Did
snake in my boot.
Did you say Splash?
No.
Did you say Sleepless?
Say no. Burbs?
Did you say You've Got Mail?
I did say the
he
Burbs.
He did say You've Got Mail. He did
say
that because I was
mail.
Proud of
you
that.
You didn't say Sleepless in Seattle? Dude, come
no.
on.
That's
come
because on, You've Got Mail is the better version of that same movie.
Disagree. Absolutely disagree.
Oh, dude, I think You've Got Mail is way better.
No. What'd you do? Open up all those AOL things every day? Come on. Sleepless in Seattle.
Sorry.
The building lights up. The building lights up. You've Got Mail is better.
No, they're both ridiculously
Dude, you've
good.
You've Got Mail
they're
is
both good.
Freaking amazing.
That's going to be our question of the day for Thanksgiving. Which one is better, Sleepless in Seattle or You've Got
you've
Mail?
You've Got Mail.
I'll go with the Burbs.
Oh, man. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Oh.
Even his son's a good actor.
Hey, did you say, Hanks, I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah,
I love that dude.
I love him too.
Did you say Catch Me If You Can?
Yes.
Did you say, was it Terminal? Was that the one where he was stuck in the airport?
Yeah. No, I didn't say that one. But yeah.
That was a good movie. Gosh.
Did you say Saving Private Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gosh. Okay, name a bad movie. Bad movie he was in.
Some of those early ones.
Yeah, you'd like the dude with one red shoe.
You'd have to go way back.
Yeah. Anybody remember Bosom Buddies? Anyone? TV show?
Oh, did you? Was he at Turner and Hooch?
Yeah.
Did you say Turner and Hooch?
No, I did.
Gosh, dude, Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
Dang, dude. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Celebrating with some.
Leave your favorite Tom Hanks moment.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's good. Gosh, it's so hard to just say one favorite moment.
There's that time he led his group across Europe to find Private Ryan.
Yeah.
You know what the first thing I thought of, honestly, was? The very end of Toy Story when Buzz and Woody, and they're talking, and then Woody says they're going to be friends, and he says to infinity and beyond.
Oh, man.
So good.
So good.
I don't know how that was the first one, because, come on, doing chopsticks...
Yeah.
It's Tom Hanks' birthday!
Right. Knocking his tooth out on the island with the rock.
Yep.
Yeah, guess what, guys?
Screaming at Wilson as he floated away.
I've Wilson.
Never seen Castaway.
Oh. Dude, that's
let's get you some tissue and let's do
moving.
This.
Yeah, let's set aside an afternoon. Let's get a lot of tissue and some ice cream and we'll do it.
Do I really need to see it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good one.
All right. Tom Hanks today... is the young age of, I'm going to say 53.
I'm going to say 57.
He is 58 years old today.
So close.
He's still young. We still got many good years of Tom Hanks movies.
We hope
so.
Ahead of us.
Man, Tom Hanks, such a... Oh, you know what? We never saw... What was that? Cloud Atlas?
Yeah.
Never saw that.
I heard it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
On to a couple of dates on this day. One year, the first airplane to fly a mile in the air did so on this day with W.R. Brooks of Atlantic City, New Jersey at the controls.
This could take all night. Thinking in a devil to help me get things right.
1951. 1922. 1910.
Ah.
This day, one year, boxer Mike Tyson was banned from the ring and fined $3 million for biting opponent Evander Holyfield's
96.
Ear.
95.
1997.
Ah, dang it.
On this day, one year, the baseball All-Star game in Milwaukee finished a 7-7 tie after 11 innings when both teams ran out of pitchers.
Wow.
There he is.
1972.
Ooh. 1979. 2002.
Oh, I remember that.
And the last one.
Doug remembers it.
And they say, what year the iPhone 3G was introduced?
Oh. Ooh, the 3G.
The 3G.
2008?
1, 2, 3, 4, tell me that you love
Wait.
Me. Sleepless, long nights.
That's a good guess.
2007. It was 2008.
Yeah.
Today is Sugar Cookie Day, but it is more so Tom Hanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's right. Happy Tom Hanksgiving.
I love it. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. I got to take a quick break. We're excited, dude. Big show today. The director of Persecuted will be on our show.
That's right.
In studio, hanging out with us. It's also Comics Corner coming up in the 8
Yay!
O'clock hour. And it's Thanksgiving Day. So we'll be doing some Tom Hanks stuff. We have to. All of that and more on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
5, 6, 9, 10 Money can't buy you back the love that you had then.
That show is the broadcast equivalent of being punched in the face.
Team Awesome Morning Party. On Static Radio.
Take another quick look at traffic here in the Albuquerque area.
Traffic.
See how you guys are doing out there. Nothing, no accidents or craziness to report. We do have construction I-25 in Paseo, so look for a little slowdown around that area. But that's all really to report.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Woo! Coffee shop here. Rocked a dirty chai this morning.
Dirty
That's
chai.
Like our drink of choice.
It is.
However, we need to start investing in gum.
Gum?
Yeah, dude. Dirty chai is, it's like, hey, espresso, you are a wise individual.
Ha ha!
Yeah, anyways. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669.
Yeah.
So check this out. Story broke this week. About a man in Roswell, New Mexico. Shout out to our translator city, Roswell.
Woo!
Last year, a dude deposited a check for $430, right?
Mm-hmm.
In his bank. Instead, they credited him $43,000.
Oh!
Imagine this, all right?
No,
you deposit a check for $430. They deposit $43,000 into your account. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So the bank, I guess, just probably said, hey, we made a mistake.
Yeah, this happened last November.
Oh.
When the bank ATM made a mechanical error, put $43,000 in his account. He said, that's more than he makes in 2 years. He said, quote, it was real nerve-wracking, but in a way, it was kind of like a blessing out of the blue, too, because I've never had that kind of money to be able to buy things for my family and do things like that around the holidays. He says he did notify a bank teller immediately, who told him to wait until the bank notified him. Well, months passed, and the dude said nobody called him.
Oh, my gosh.
This happened in November, right? So
last year.
Yeah. So okay. nothing. So he says he started by buying Christmas gifts for his family.
Okay.
And it's been a month. Going to buy some Christmas gifts with some of this money.
I get that.
And
nobody's called.
Nobody calls. So months later, he started spending the money. Says, quote, I was able to actually buy things for my fiance and for my daughter. You know, things without having to borrow money or just kind of get by. It was actually a nice Christmas being able to do things. It was kind of worry-free, end quote. Well, before he knew it, he had spent all of it.
Whoa, already?
And then some.
Oh, no.
He actually overdrew on his account. Yeah. He said, quote, it kind of went faster than I kept track of.
Man.
Yeah, well, in February this year...
Bank called.
Said,
hi, hello, Mr. Quartz. Noticed a mechanical error, and it seems that you owe us $43,000.
And he was like, Kermit? And the bank was like,
hey, man.
Just kidding. Well, bank called wanting their money. And he obviously had none of it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Here was his response. Quote,
oh, no.
It's their mess up. It was an expensive mistake on their part. They put the money in my account. I sat there. I didn't touch the money for months. They never found it. They never corrected it. They never did anything. I mean, you would think an amount like that would be something they would be right on top of. End quote.
Yes, you would.
So before you go judging him, his quote to America was, all I could say is have someone put $43,000 in your account, see what you do.
Yeah.
End quote. But he waited months. Bank never called.
And he called the bank first.
Yeah, he called a teller right away who told him to wait. Apparently, he couldn't wait. Forever was too long.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
If he notified the bank, if he legitimately notified the bank and said, hey, you guys put money in my account, and they said to wait, and he waited and waited and waited and waited, I would have called again. Definitely would have called again. Would not have spent that money.
That's tough, dude. Roswell police say they've closed the investigation. They're not pressing charges. It's up to the bank, Washington Federal, to sue in civil court to get their money back. He is making payments to the bank, according to the police report filed by Washington Federal. This dude owes the bank $39,000 is what they settled on.
Jeez.
$39,000.
You only shaved off like $4,000?
Yeah.
I would have gone for more than that.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. 505-338-3700. It's tough, man. What would you do?
My dad says, it's not your money.
See, exactly.
He just texted me. It's not Murray, your money. No matter how it got there.
You are awesome.
He says, no matter how it got there, it's not your money.
Yeah. So what do you do? I would be nervous.
I would have been calling the bank.
I'll tell you right now, if it had been deposited in my checking, I immediately would have moved it into like a savings account.
Yeah.
Because I would have been terrified that I would have started.
Yeah.
Like, I can't spend this.
Yep.
Oh, because you know that That you know they're going to come around.
I would have kept calling the bank. I would have said, wait till they call you. And I would have waited a week and then said, hey, nobody's called me and this is sitting in my account.
There's a lot of cash, yo. Static.
Good morning. I am actually going to blame the teller on this one.
But he deposited it through an ATM.
I understand that. But when I used to work for a bank ages ago, call center, doing the customer service when people would call in.
Okay.
And I had a little old lady deposit a $5 check once, and we put $500 in her account instead. And she called me, and I had a system. I typed it in, I put it in, and within 24 hours, it was corrected. So if the teller didn't know how to correct that, she should have found somebody who did, because I'm sure there was a way it could have been corrected right away.
Yeah.
So she let it sit there. She didn't want to deal with it. She let it sit there. His money.
I have a question. How do we know that the teller was a female?
Because most tellers are female?
You're sexist. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no!
Hey! I'm a paralegal now. Most paralegals are female, too.
How could you do this to women?
Against your own kind.
You've turned against your own kind.
You've changed.
You've changed.
Oh, so changed. I'm just kidding.
Just kidding.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you.
Of course. Have a good day, guys.
Bye. 505-338-3700, the phone number. A man deposited a check for $430 and said he got credit for $43,000. Sat on it for a few months, but when the bank didn't come collecting, he spent it all.
Man.
And then some. Your thoughts. Static.
Hey.
Hey.
So I kind of blame the girl before. I kind of blame the bank for making the mistake in the first place.
Okay.
But if this guy's not getting charged interest to pay back $43,000, he should be praising God for it.
Yeah, very true.
That's a good call right there.
Very true.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That alone is grace.
There you go. I know, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. All right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he is making payments to the bank according to the police report filed by Washington Federal. This dude owes the bank $39,000.
My dad said he should have taken it back. He should have taken the money back in person and asked for a reward.
There you go.
Straight up.
Hey, this is your money.
This is your money. What's that? It's your money. Get it when you want it. J.G. Wentworth or whatever it is. He should have taken it back and said, this is your money. You put it in my account by mistake. Yeah. I'm bringing it back to you. It's Christmas. Yeah. I could really use some extra money.
For reals.
So I'm going to give you 40 back, and I'm going to keep 3. And in fact, I brought this gun. Give me everything that's in
the... Oh, my God!
Give me everything that's in the
Your
register!
Your dad is give listening!
No!
Oh, Murray, this is the guy you raised. This is the kid you raised.
I think he meant to say, rob the bank. I think that's what my dad meant.
Gosh!
Rob it!
Static!
Hey, guys, it's SB.
Whoa!
SB, sup?
Even though, like everybody else, I could definitely use the money...
Yeah.
I don't think that I would have, like you guys were saying, I think I would have just went straight to the bank and in person and said, hey, please clear this out of my account. This is not mine. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, I would be thinking somebody was trying to launder money through my bank account or something like that.
I haven't seen
that movie. I'd be all freaked out.
Oh, SB, you are paranoid.
There you go. That's a good call. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, guys.
All right. 505-338-3700. Roswell, man. Shout out to our
here
Transitive
in New
City,
Mexico.
Roswell. Yeah, deposited a $430 check, got $43,000 instead. He makes $24,000 a year, so he said, man, this is more than I make in 2 years. Like, this is a lot of money. Take home. He said, quote, it was real nerve-wracking, but in a way it was like a blessing out of the blue.
No! You know what? I bet he was like, man, Lord told me I could just spend it on whatever I wanted.
Oh, gosh.
So I did!
So he did. And now the bank's like, hey, bro! You spent our money! He's like, yeah, I called immediately and talked to a bank teller who told me to wait until you notified me. And they said, well, did you wait? And he was like, well... For like a couple months, but then it just, I mean, that's a lot of money. So I had a Christmas presents. I had to go for it.
My dad just told me that both of my great granddads were bank presidents. And it's not in my blood to rob a bank. I didn't know they were bank presidents. That's crazy.
Oh, incredible.
That's awesome.
Incredible.
I had no idea.
That's good, man.
The only thing I know about my great-granddad on my mom's side is that he was really, 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 really racist.
Oh,
and now
good.
I know that he's a bank president. So I know two facts. That's good. That's all I got. Seriously.
Oh, amazing. Oh, it's just before 8 o'clock.
That makes two giant differences between him and me because I'm not at all racist and I'm terrible with money. Booyah.
Coming back, Comics Corner. It is around the corner. And, of course, it is Tom Hanks' birthday. So, happy Hanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Hanksgiving.
One of the most important questions of the day ever. I prefer You've Got Mail. Mm. Teo, you prefer
Sleepless in Seattle. And see, a lot of people are answering, like Jonathan wrote, Splash. Mario said, not listed, but Forrest Gump. Maybe we should change the question to, what's your favorite Tom Hanks movie? Because I feel like this is going to keep happening.
Yeah, You've Got Mail isn't my favorite Tom Hanks.
No, not at all. Yeah. My favorite, oh gosh, I don't know. We didn't even say That Thing You Do earlier. Oh. Catch Me If You Can is
Which
so good.
Which he wrote, starred in, directed.
Yeah,
I mean, That Thing You Do is one of the raddest
movies. That movie
movies.
Is so good.
So good.
Could be my favorite.
And you...
But then they're saving
You're
crime.
The smart one.
No, and I quit, Mr. White.
I quit. I quit. I quit. I quit, Mr. White.
And everybody's like, I hate you! I hate you! He is an enemy.
Why didn't you leave her in Pittsburgh?
The Vicksburgs in Pittsburgh. Vicksburgs in Pittsburgh. All right, we'll come back in a minute. So should we change it? Should we change it?
What favorite people are already history? Answering
yeah,
however they
just
want.
Just let them go. Blah. Freedom of speech on our Facebook.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Let me refresh this because there's something going on. And I want it to be totally up to date. We do have construction I-25 in Paseo. If you are an Albuquerque resident, you know all about it. And hopefully you're finding ways to avoid it. But also, we want to report an accident. Left lane's blocked. I-40 West at Wyoming Boulevard. That's exit 164. I-40 West at Wyoming. There's an accident and the left lane is blocked. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party, brought to you in part by Persecuted.
Oh, yes.
Releasing in theaters July 18th. If you're on the webcam, we're like inundated. Boom, boom, boom. We got the trailer going. We got... movie poster in the background. We've got t-shirts, and here's the thing, we're actually going to be giving away a bunch of cool swag in the 9 o'clock hour.
Woo!
We will have the director,
yeah,
Daniel Lusco, in studio talking to us about the film Persecuted, so make sure you keep it locked here. And again, big thank you to Persecuted for supporting Static
yeah,
Radio, and especially Team Awesome Morning Party.
Big ups!
Yeah, man. PersecutedMovie.com. Are you ready for Comics Corner?
I'm ready.
Oh, me too!
Oh, nerds.
To the Idiot Mobile.
Hey, it's Comics Corner, and I really want to read them, because they're really, really cool, and they're really, really new.
Doug wears dresses to work every day. Doug wears dresses.
Comics Corner!
Let's do it.
Welcome to Comics Corner. Comics Corner brought to you by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast, right here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, astrozombies.com or 232-7800.
We want to thank them for their support of Static Radio.
That's right!
Woohoo! And we also want to thank them because Max never shows up anymore and it makes me sad.
It does, me too.
But I know that fortunately, I will see him at some point during the week.
That's
and that
good.
Makes me happy.
We're going to see them tomorrow night. Actually, they are being really, really rad and helping us get to a screener of a film that we'll be talking about on Friday.
On Friday.
Ooh. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, if you're partially interested, if you care,
Dawn.
If you want to see it. We will have a full review this Friday, courtesy of Astro Zombies. So big thanks to them for...
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Getting us there.
Thank y'all.
Dude, huge week.
Huge week. How many
Gosh.
Do you have over there? One, two.
Well, I got two Marvel, and I have five DC. What happened to me?
I don't know.
What happened to me?
You traded?
It doesn't count because three of them are Batman titles, really.
Yeah.
Four, if you count Futures In, because it's super Batman Beyond centric.
There's a lot of Batman characters in that one right there.
So, apparently, you know, for me, give me Batman.
You love Batman right now.
I do.
Let's start with DC then, since we have mostly DC.
All right, fine. So, we've got a lot of Batman to cover this week.
We do.
Detective Comics, which is where Batman premiered 75 years ago.
Woo!
75 years.
How's that for foe?
I think it's because of the 75th anniversary, obviously, that they are just rocking and rolling
Batman.
With Batman titles right now. So, it sucks in one regard because... man, there's so many great things happening all at the same time, but it can kind of get confusing.
Yep.
So we'll kick it off with some Batman Detective Comics, Part 4 of Icarus. Francis Manapul and Brian Bussolato are amazing. They did a huge run on The Flash. He uses a lot of color pencils.
Mm-hmm.
The art is like no other comic. It is one of the raddest looking comics, if not the best. It's
so
one of the best.
Does Francis Manapul, does he write and draw?
He writes, yeah. He writes and draws in Brian Bussolato.
Color.
Yeah, it's like his...
beautiful.
It is. And so the art, the layouts are incredible, which really progresses the story well. I love it. Characters have different faces, facial expressions.
That's good.
So, yeah, everybody's set apart, which is really cool. The only bummer is there's so many Batman stories going on right now. This one is not as memorable to me. It's still good, but Detective Comics, Part 5, next month is the wrap of the Icarus storyline. And it's been really good to this point. Detective is more methodical. Think like a CSI type television show. So if you're checking out Batman, it's, you know, ooh, I want explosions and action and whatever. That this is not the comic for you. This is definitely more on the ground. Probably what Gotham, the TV series, is going to be like, where it's detective work. It's trying to find evidence for things. And going at it from that angle, considering it's called Detective Comics, it works out. So
it's awesome.
It's really more old school. So I dig it. This is way less crazy superheroes and or supervillains with crazy powers. This is, you know, guys on the street. This is slave traders. This is stuff like that. So it's a really
interesting
cool.
read. That's what Detective Comics should be. That's
yes.
the side. That's a side of Batman that I think we haven't really seen in the movies.
Right!
That we need to see.
Yeah, so
we
it's definitely more realistic in a sense that, you know, like I said, it's gang wars, it's street thugs, it's stuff like that. The only bummer is, being that it is street level, it's, you know, a lot of no-name thugs that you don't know, that they're trying to introduce new characters. Whereas another book that came out this week, which is a weekly, actually, Batman Eternal... they are on issue 14.
Yeah. And Batman Eternal is killer.
It is unbelievable. And this week, literally, it's killer. Penguin,
yeah.
Penguin goes crazy, and there's a lot of stuff going on. We're finally getting to a point where it's like ramping up for crazy. You know, I don't know if this is going to be... how many issues Batman Eternal is going to be, but man, this is getting towards... craziness. So this week, Penguin decides to take matters into his own hands, and a lot of stuff going on.
Also, we learn about a character called the Lion.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this character.
Cool. But multiple references.
Okay. So you start wondering, you're like,
when's this character going to come into play?
Now, it could be a red herring.
It really could.
Or it could just be like foreshadowing.
But I will say this, Scott Snyder, who is a great writer, has been rocking Batman Eternal with the help of some friends.
Yeah.
Different artists week in and week out, because as we said, normally comic books come out on a monthly basis. Batman Eternal is a weekly. If you're a Batman fan, this is the one.
Yeah.
There's so many Bat titles. There's Batman. There's Batman and Robin. There's Detective Comics. Batman Eternal, for me, is probably the purest Batman out there. You've got Scarecrow in the mix. You've got Penguin. You've got Two-Face making appearances. You've got Carmine Falcone in there. It's just all these Bat characters and the Bat family. So you've got Batgirl and Red Hood and just all these great characters. So you're really seeing everything. This is like a love letter to Batman fans.
And if you're not really into comics and you love Batman, you love the movies, and you like the TV shows or whatever, this is the comic I would recommend for you to get. Number one, because it's weekly. So you can follow along with the story every single week, which is awesome. One of the pains of regular comics is you usually have to wait between 2 weeks and a month for the next part of the story.
Yeah.
But this being a weekly, it's like boom, 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 boom. And sometimes the art isn't the best. There was an issue a few issues back that I didn't even read because I hated the art so much. But it's because it's weekly. They're having to get a bunch of creative teams in there to finish it out. But the story is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Eternal is solid.
Yeah, I am
it's
a fan.
Sally, yo.
Now, we talk about how everybody's involved in Batman Eternal, but there is one member of the Bat family who is missing from Batman Eternal. That's because he got his own series this week, and he is one of my favorite characters in DC Comics. And it just fell on the ground.
Threw it on the ground. Now, this series springs out of the aftermath of Forever Evil.
So if you haven't read Forever Evil, I will tell you right now, if you're planning on reading it, we are going to spoil it.
Spoil.
However, I mean, knowing that this series is coming out, you should read between the lines. So here's the deal. We're spoiling in like 3 seconds. So you have time to tune out if you care about Nightwing, the original Robin. I think we're good. Okay.
Yep.
Brand new series released this week, and it was one that I have been like super stoked for.
Yeah, because there was a preview of it in a different comic a few weeks back.
I've been really, really anticipating this series. It's called Grayson.
Grayson. So,
in Forever Evil, Nightwing, who is the original Robin, woo, Batman's sidekick, he's his own character now, Nightwing. At one point, he took on the mantle of the Bat when Bruce Wayne died for 8 minutes, because that's what happens. And speaking of deaths for 8 minutes... Nightwing is uncovered. He's unmasked. The world knows that Dick Grayson is Nightwing.
Woo!
And at the end of that series, Lex Luthor kills Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
Kills Dick Grayson. Now, it's shown and everybody sees it.
Technically.
And then shortly thereafter, Batman and Lex Luthor save his life.
Woo.
But only Batman and Lex Luthor know that Dick Grayson is alive.
Yeah,
because
the world thinks
people on the planet.
He is unmasked and dead.
And dead, so everybody mourns, and there's a funeral, and it's sad, and Dick Grayson is dead. So enter this new series that starts today, releasing today. It's called Grayson. And so being unmasked and everyone thinking he's dead, it's like, hey, I'm not dead. I'm going to go back to being Nightwing. And Batman's like, no, man, I got a better idea. Because everyone thinks you're dead, it's the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on around the world. You should do this. You should do that. So this series, there's no costume. There's no tights. The series is called Grayson, and he is I was going to say an assassin, but more of a secret agent.
Yeah.
He's a secret agent overseas, Black Ops style. Think Mission Impossible.
Goes by a different name.
Yeah, goes by a different name. And works for this company. He's an agent, Agent 37 or whatever it is, of this company. Nobody knows who he is. It really did remind me of Mission Impossible, because he's wearing wigs and he's doing all these crazy things and he's breaking into government facilities. And there's, and it's incredible!
Yeah.
The art's amazing. It's definitely a different take. It's not superhero-centric. Nobody's flying around in capes or anything. It is another one of those books that's very much so, hey, this could be a great television series someday.
Yeah.
So
that would be cool.
It's full-on, you know, just think the Bourne Identity.
Yes. Very Bourne Identity.
Yeah, Bourne Identity, Mission Impossible style. But the central character is Nightwing, is Dick Grayson, is the original Robin.
Original Robin.
But
so he's
to the
got
world,
the skills.
Yeah, to the world he's dead. And to everyone else, including Batgirl, the new Robin, Tim Drake, Red Robin. Everyone thinks that he is dead. Batman and Lex Luthor are the only two humans on the planet that know he's alive.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so really excited about that series to see where it goes. As I said, number one came out today, so we'll see where it takes us. But,
All right. So also another weekly, Futures End.
Futures End.
This new issue is pretty good.
Yeah, DC Comics, they have a few weeklies going on right now. This is issue 10 of Futures End. It's set 5 years in the future of the entire DC universe, and we're starting to see where they're going to take the future of DC Comics, because you're kind of seeing some stuff meld together.
Yeah.
Characters are being revealed, and we're really getting an understanding of, okay, I see what's happening, because this is really supposed to set up the future, if you will, of DC Comics.
And something has gone down, because a lot of the heroes that are regular superheroes and quote-unquote current time in this future time are all undercover, or they're not heroes anymore. They've changed their identities. They don't go by.
Right.
Something went down.
Something happened. There was a war of some kind. People died.
We don't know what it was.
Characters are missing. We have no idea yet. So it's really interesting. I do recommend it at this point.
It also features
it picked up.
Batman Beyond. If you liked that cartoon, they have worked him into continuity within the main DC universe.
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to get a lot of the B characters some prominent time.
Give them some love. Give
which
them
is
love.
Why Justice League United number 3, which released this week, just a quick, you know, that's kind of what that is. It's Martian Manhunter, it's Stargirl, it's
Hawkman,
it's Animal Man, it's Green Arrow. And they're really trying to make these B characters a team of stars, but I don't know.
It's tough.
It's hard when...
It's like Great Lakes Avengers.
Hawkman is everywhere right now, and I don't know why they're trying to push him so hard, but...
Hawkman is a dumb character to me. Straight up. I've never... I think he's so stupid.
Yeah, I don't much get it.
Of course, I'm... You know, he's similar in some ways to Moon Knight, which I love Moon Knight.
Yeah.
But I think that's because Moon Knight is, like, twisted. You know?
Crazy!
He knows he's crazy.
Yeah.
And he knows that his origin or whatever is just ridiculous. But then Hawkman...
Takes himself seriously?
Yeah. It's like, I'm Hawkman. And he's kind of a, you know, a jerk.
It's really difficult because, you know, spoilers here, and I apologize.
Spoilers!
I'm not a fan of spoilers. Recently, that dude has died, like, 3 times.
Yeah.
Future's in. There was an issue. It was like, oh, dead.
So
next
he's
issue.
Dead in the future.
He's back.
Right.
And now he's not dead.
And he's got this arm thing.
The nth metal or whatever saved his life. So he's dead. And then he dies in another comic. And then like 2 issues later, just kidding. He's not dead. He can't die.
He's Hawkman.
And so he keeps dying and coming back. And it wouldn't be a big deal if it was like kind of beginning or middle of the comic. But it's always like end of the comic. Hawkman's dead.
Oh,
and we're like, no he's
again.
Not. No, he's not. You guys are going to bring him back in 2 weeks anyways because of the stupid metal crap, whatever.
Lame,
tired of that.
Lame.
All right, one last DC comic that I wanted to touch on this week because I'm really excited. Another new number one. There's a lot of books coming out right now that if you're a fan of comics or maybe you're new to comics and you're wanting to find a place, there's some good comics that are releasing that are number ones. There's a brand new Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't read comics, you're like, well, that doesn't
Suicide Squad.
That's not
now,
good.
That's wrong.
The premise is a great one, actually, in my opinion. The premise is supervillains who are locked away in prison, who are going to be there for the rest of their lives. There's a government agency that says, hey, what if we created this task force, basically, the Suicide Squad, where they go on these ridiculously tough missions and probably are going to die, but they're villains, so we don't care as much about them.
Right.
Or if they do survive, then, you know, we'll cut some time off their sentence. They're in prison, they're bad guys, but they're not Joker bad, they're just, you know, mostly bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually really enjoy this series. Number one of Suicide Squad, this brand new Suicide Squad series kicked off. It's got a new team. Harley Quinn is on it. Joker's daughter, Deathstroke.
Black Manta.
Amanda Waller, Deadshot. It's got a really great team.
Is this Amanda Waller?
Yeah.
So they're done with the way she used to look.
Pretty much.
They're done with all that.
So it's a new series, and what I really like about it is, of course, the government is saying we want this secret black ops team that nobody can know about because it's centered around villains. And so to the world, if news gets out that Harley Quinn is breaking into a government facility and blowing things up, it'll just look like villains doing what villains normally do.
Mm.
So they have plausible deniability about it actually being for the U.S. government.
Oh.
On the flip side, you're seeing these characters who are quote-unquote bad finding a shot at redemption. And it's this idea that no one is beyond redemption, and they're picking these characters and these bad guys who are in prison and saying, hey, this is your shot. And there are people who have turned it down because they're like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of
course, there's also the side of things where if they die, they're like, well, they were a villain
gone. Oh, and we planted bombs in their necks, so if they do veer off course, we'll just explode them. No big.
Yeah.
And so it's this interesting take on... with this new Suicide Squad, there are characters in this series who were added to the mix late, and there was a reason why they couldn't put the bomb implants in them.
Ooh.
And so there's this fear of, wait, are they really going to try and do good?
Or are they just going to go crazy?
Or are they going to go crazy because we don't have total control of them? They're
Ooh.
Not our robots. They have free will, in essence.
Ooh.
And so what will they choose to do because they're villains? So the concept is really cool for this new Suicide Squad because there's some characters in there that you don't know. And it's always the, well, are they going to do what is true to their quote-unquote nature?
Mm-hmm.
Or is is it possible for a redemption story for villains? And so...
Crazy.
I really like this comic. I really like where they're going, and we'll see what happens from there. Like I said, Suicide Squad, number one.
Think of it like Suicide Mission.
There you go. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's because most of them are these crazy, you know, suicide missions where chances are you're not going to come back. But, you know, they will.
And now we move on to Marvel.
Yeah!
Marvel Comics. Because there's a lot in the Marvel Comics world that came out this week.
Take it away. You've got 17 Marvel Comics.
I do. Five. Okay, so Original Sin is going on. That's the big crossover. And we have two tie-in comics. They're actually more tie-in comics, but we only picked up two.
Because we broke.
We broke! We got Avengers number 32 and Thor and Loki, the 10th Realm.
Yeah.
And this is actually like a 5.1 Original Sin, because there's an Original Sin series.
Yeah.
And this is an offshoot
of that.
Ties
in from Original Sin number 5.
So what happened in Original Sin is the Orb, which is this dude with, he has an eyeball for a head and he's crazy.
Just go with it.
Yeah. The Watcher got shot. The Watcher is that little alien guy that watches, he just watches everything that happens.
It's his job, aptly named.
The Orb goes up and gets his eyeball because he knows the Watcher has seen all these secret things happen. And then the Orb, like, activates his eye or something in front of all these heroes. And it's a big old assortment of heroes. So it's, like, Spider-Man and Captain America and the Hulk and Thor and all these different, like, tons of them. Luke Cage is in the mix. A bunch of these heroes are kind of standing around when this happens. And so then all of a sudden they know these things that have been kept from them for their life. They know these secrets. And the thing that Thor learns is that he has a sister.
What?
What? A sister. And not only that, we've all heard about the Nine Realms.
Yeah.
You know, so we have like Asgard and Midgard and the Tree.
Other Guard.
Right, Other Guards and and Right Guard. All of these things. But there's a tenth secret realm that nobody knew about. And it's because this realm was inhabited by angels. And, of course, there's a character named Angela who's popped up in the Marvel Universe.
Who's a chick angel.
She's a chick angel. Therefore, and all of a sudden, we learn that her real name is Aldrif, and she's actually Thor's sister.
Boom!
And, of course, Loki's half-sister. So now Thor's on a mission to uncover, because in his vision, he saw the baby, but then he saw that she was still alive. And then we learn that Thor's mom thinks she's dead. So now we've got this mystery and this adventure with Thor and Loki. They're figuring out what this whole 10th realm is about and who Angela is. And Angela's in the Guardians of the Galaxy now.
Yeah.
Now, if you're familiar with Spawn, yes, this is Angela. That was in Spawn. That
on
was in Image
Comics. Yeah.
The owner, I think Neil Gaiman, wrote the whole Angela arc, and he actually owned that character. And last year, boom, sold her to Marvel.
Yeah.
And so Marvel's bringing her in with a big old bang. They are happy to have Angela in the universe, and now this is like her...
She's been great.
It's her new backstory. Because I don't think the backstory in Spawn was ever really revealed. She was just like of these angels.
Right.
Attacking Demon Spawn, which is what Spawn was. So now we're getting tons of backstory on her, where she came from. There's like this ancient war between Asgard and the angelic realm.
Ooh.
Or heaven. And so there's
tons of stuff.
So that's Thor's thing, and Thor and Loki are going on an adventure to figure out Angela's backstory. If this really is the baby, if this really is his sister, what's this 10th realm all about? Why did Odin close it up? It's pretty neat. That just started, too. That's number one. And it's like a 5-issue series, so jump on it. Also, Original Sin, Avengers number 32. And this is crazy. Jonathan Hickman's taking us on a time travel adventure.
I'd love to sit down and have coffee with that guy.
Yeah, we are way in the future. And Franklin Richards pops up.
Yes.
And there's a ton of biblical allusions in here. You've got a garden. You've got some inedible fruit.
Yeah.
You've got a tree of life.
Yep.
You've got one guy kind of chilling in the garden, and then you've got like a universe that's wide open and not divided by nation states or anything like that, and you've got an Avengers world, a literal Avengers world.
Dude, Avengers 32 was amazing.
Yes.
I loved the issue. I loved the ideas of if you're not hindered by anything, imagine not being hindered by borders, by anything, what you could become, what you could accomplish. The idea that if you let nothing stand in your way, what would you do and what would you accomplish? And it was like, man, if we, I took that in my own life as not being hindered by the flesh or sin or barriers or fears or whatever it is, what I could actually accomplish before God, you know, when unhindered. And we really, sadly, most times don't live that way. Whether it's like, well, a fear of rejection or self-esteem issues or it could be sin in your life. Whatever it is, we kind of put these invisible barriers in our way. And when those aren't there, oh my gosh, yeah. This issue is incredible.
Be they mental barriers, be they like you're holding on to your past and you won't let go. And yeah. It's just, you know, that kind of thing. This, and it of course, is not making like these direct like collusions or whatever that we're doing. But that's kind of what it's all about. Captain America, who has learned a crazy original sin against him when that eye thing blew up, is that these superheroes made up of Mr. Fantastic and Iron Man and blah, 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 but Tony Stark kind of is the leader. They're known as the Illuminati. They kept a big secret from Captain America. And not only did they keep it from him, but they totally, like, hypnotized him so he wouldn't remember. And when that eye bomb thing went off, he remembered. And he is mad.
You know, he's like, hashtag never forget on Twitter. He's pissed.
All the time. He is pissed.
Never forget.
Hashtag pissed. Tony Stark,
at
I hate
Tony
you.
Tony Stark, hashtag never forget.
I'm coming for you. Wait a second. I keep getting transported further and further and further and further and further into the future.
Have you noticed the theme? Avengers 32, it's also in Batman Eternal this week as well. The idea of what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
And stretching that line of this is right, this is wrong, because you've got the Avengers who are saying, yeah, man, but in order to save our planet, we're going to blow up another planet.
Preemptive strike.
We just got to blow up millions of people. Mm-hmm. But we save millions of people. And Cap's like, no, there's got to be another way. We got to have hope. We got to be able to save everyone. It's like, that's not possible. That's dream world. And then in Batman, you've got Batman who's like, I'm trying to save the whole city. And it's like, yeah, but there's some bad apples who are beyond redemption. So if we take these characters out, then it saves thousands of others. It's like this weird
greater
theme
good.
Of like, yeah.
It's the greater good. It's
it is
everything.
Prominent in DC and Marvel right now. It's interesting.
In their big story arcs.
They really are.
Interesting.
Yep.
Another issue, Amazing Spider-Man 1.3. This is a series called Learning to Crawl, and it goes back to his origin and some of his very early adventures, and it's a fun series to read.
Yeah.
The art looks like it was drawn in the 60s, but it's totally modern day. Like, they have digital cameras and email and cell phones and this and that and this and this. So it's kind of a reboot,
like a
sort
throwback
of.
Homage.
Yeah.
To, yeah.
But it's definitely his origin. We learn part of the reason why Aunt May is so terrified of Spider-Man in this issue.
Really?
Yeah, and there's more stuff. The villain is this kid who's... First, he starts off trying to be Spider-Man, pretty much like a Spider-Man copy.
Okay.
And then he gets pissed at Spider-Man. But this is the kid that uploaded the video... This is how we've rebooted Spider-Man's origin. In his original origin, we know that Spider-Man was... He took up wrestling to make money.
Yeah.
It's in the comics, you know? So, in this... This is the kid that uploaded the video of Spider-Man wrestling to YouTube and made him famous.
Gotcha.
And so you've got this kid saying, I made you, Spider-Man. If people wouldn't have seen you, nobody would care about you.
Right.
But we're also in this weird phase where Spider-Man isn't really a hero. He's not really a hero yet. He's in between being that wrestling entertainer and becoming the hero that we all know and love.
Oh.
Early days. And we see his first encounter with the Vulture, which is hilarious. Because he's just a kid, and he's just trying to make money, and all this stuff is blowing up in his face. And then the villain, ironically enough, the exact same thing's happening, except that kid's just trying to get acceptance and be cool because he's this weird homeschool kid. The comic's words, not mine, but I agree. And he's totally just trying to... And we're learning what happens when similar goals turn people into enemies.
Okay.
Which I hope never happens to me and you.
Right, buddy. Hey.
Doug, don't let it happen to us. Anyway, moving on. Also, I love Daredevil. Daredevil's coming out. Mark Waid's writing it, and this story is great. And the whole time, this is just number 5, and since number 1, Foggy Nelson has been dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
Foggy Nelson is his buddy. It's his protege. It's his co-host, if you will. It was his... partner at their law firm in New York, but now we're out in San Francisco, and Foggy Nelson's dead. What happened to Foggy Nelson? Let's find out in this issue. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And my favorite book of the week.
Oh.
Spider-Man 2099 number 1. This was a big series in the 90s. Marvel got on this, hey, 2099 sounds like a cool year. Let's put out characters from there.
One of my absolute favorite runs ever. I have hanging the original Spider-Man 2099 number one, signed by the writer Peter David. Got a chance to meet him.
Yeah.
And I freaking nerded out like never before. I was like, okay, so in this timeline. Yeah, I felt like an idiot.
I'm sweating. But I'm not like these other guys.
I'm not like these other nerds. I have tattoos. I'm cool, right? I'm kind of cool.
You think I'm cool?
So,
maybe you can put me in
when you just sign it. But can you sign it to Steve-O?
To me.
No, it's S-T-E-V-O. There's no second E.
That's sweat. That's not a tear. I'm not crying.
That's right.
Because Peter David is a big-time writer. He had a huge run on the Hulk.
Huge run on X-Factor.
Yeah. So he started Spider-Man 2099, we said, back in the 90s. And he's back for this new rebooted thing because Spider-Man 2099, Miguel O'Hara, is trapped in the present day. And it's an interesting thing because he had the main villain, the big bad in the original Spider-Man 2099 series, was the head of this corporation called Alchemax. And then in regular Spider-Man continuity, a few months back during Superior, we saw the birth of Alchemax.
Yeah.
And then we saw who was behind it, and we learned that that's actually Spider-Man 2099's granddad.
Yep.
What? And so he's back here in the past. He gets trapped. He's trying to prevent Alchemax from becoming what it will become.
Yeah.
And you would think, okay, well, he's in the past, so no worries, none of his villains. And now all of a sudden, we got people popping up from the time stream trying to correct this little error that's going on.
Well, what's interesting to me, has anyone thought about the fact that scientist Miguel O'Hara, who like worked at Alchemax or whatever...
Mike O'Mara.
But in the future,
yeah.
Miguel O'Hara, right? So if he fixes this and Alchemax never exists, mm-hmm. how is he Spider-Man? Because he created all that stuff at the laboratories because he was wanting to become Spider-Man.
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. Because we do have writer, so I'm sure that he's thought about these things.
And that's a big reason why I was really excited for Spider-Man 2099, because if it was anyone, I don't care if it's Brian Michael Bendis, if it was anyone other than Peter David,
you'd be like, come on.
I'm not sure I would have been excited for this new series.
But it is great.
It is the original writer.
And the art is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good... And it's brand new number one.
Yeah.
This is a great point to start. This is fun.
The very beginning, there is a one sheet where it's like, hey, catching you up. Here's his origin story. Here's why he's in 2014. Let's go.
Yep.
Peter David's an incredible writer. He holds your hand through it without holding your hand, if that makes sense. So
you kind of... He kind of holds the bicycle as you learn to pedal.
Yeah, but you don't feel like dad's still holding on to the seat.
He lets you go.
Yeah, so it's really, really good. Couple other notable issues this week. All new X-Men number 29. It's the resolution of the X-Men from the future. We find out their motivations, who they are really.
Oh, I need to read that.
Behind it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it goes crazy. So that's another good one. Brian Michael Bendis. Incredible.
I gotta know what's up!
Lastly, Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 13 finally came out, and everybody rejoiced because the series was supposed to be canceled because it wasn't doing so well.
And it's not canceled!
This comic book is the community of Marvel.
That's what it is.
It is the community TV show of the Marvel universe.
Yeah, okay.
Because it keeps getting like, I don't know, man. It's not doing well. People don't super love it. No, people really love it. Yeah, but that's only the faithful nerds that are reading it. I think we're going to cancel it. Here's another month delay on this one. Here's a month delay on that one. So it's been a long road to just get to issue 13. But if you're a fan of Community, actually, if you're a fan of comedy in general, Superior Foes of Spider-Man, ironically titled, is about... Spider-Man's lesser-known villains who suck at being villains.
They're terrible.
They're Joe Schmoes. They have crappy powers and abilities.
And they're terrible people.
They're just trying to rob a bank. But nothing goes right for them. They can't even put together a group of quote-unquote supervillains. Real supervillains don't even like them because they're giving supervillains a bad name. It's hilarious.
Hilarious, hilarious.
So if you're just up for like fun and hilarity and stupidity, the Superior Foes of Spider-Man is one of the funniest comic books I've ever read, and I absolutely love it. It made Boomerang one of my favorite characters.
And it's not canceled, which is a big deal. That
Huge!
Shows that people are responding to it.
Yeah,
and when there started to be rumors of the cancellation, like Steve-O said, people were like, no, I love it.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's not canceled so far.
Not canceled, so there you go.
Written by Nick Spencer, who is hilarious.
He is hilarious.
He's a great writer. And not only just hilarious, he writes awesome stories.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. So there you go. That is our Comics Corner for this week, brought to you by Astro Zombies.
So much stuff.
3100 Central Avenue Southeast, astrozombies.com or 232-7800. Now, pick of the week? What do you got?
Man, Spider-Man 29 and Batman Eternal.
Yes. You know what?
Yeah. Batman Eternal
was fantastic.
The story is getting awesome.
Yeah.
And a character pops up at the end and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, dude.
Which is cool.
I also got to throw Grayson into the mix. Grayson number one was a great, great start for this new series. There was so many great comics.
Yeah, every comic I read this week was good.
Yeah. There you go. All right. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, Team Awesome Morning Party, which sponsored by Persecuted Movie.
The movie.
Persecuted the film, going to be releasing July 18th. PersecutedMovie.com for more information. Nick just said she's never heard us geek out so much ever. We're nerding out today. This is, I don't know, I guess this was the most excited Comics Corner we've had in a while.
Punch!
Yeah. Coming back, speaking of excited, we're going to be talking with Daniel Lesko, the director of Persecuted, major motion picture releasing July 18th. You can get to our Facebook page, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Check out the trailer. In fact, be listening. We got a ton of swag, including t-shirts.
We do.
Really nice t-shirts, too,
actually. If you check out our webcam feed, you will see
all the stuff we got in the studio. All the stuff.
And we want you to win it.
We got autographed copies of the novelization of Persecuted signed by
posters.
The director of the film. Yeah.
The poster has names on it and a picture. It's super interesting.
That's good. I like that.
Great visual art.
Beautiful.
There's a cross for all you guys that want it to be super Christian.
I almost bought a red tie to match the movie poster for the premiere in LA. But I didn't. I went black on white.
Black on white.
We'll see. All right. Coming back. Director Daniel Lesko joins us in studio on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
3, 2, 1. Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Team Awesome Morning Party, good morning.
Good morning.
Steve-O and Mateo with you and joined in studio by a very good friend and now major motion picture director. Daniel Lesko.
That's good to be here. Thanks for having me, Steve and Mateo. Nice to meet you.
It's good to have you, man. Welcome to the show. Obviously, longtime friend of 88.3 FM. In fact, way, way back, you were on the air here.
That's right.
It's how you got your start, really. It's what's what made you passionate about film? Probably not.
Got us through the late night hours.
There you go. Dude, welcome. I'm so stoked that you actually had time to come hang out with us in studio because you are really freaking busy.
Well, you know, a publicity campaign leading up, it's like, you know, running for office or something. It's difficult, but, you know, that we're in the process of doing right now is handing the movie over to the audience and letting them say, you know, what do you think? Are you going to support this movie? You know, I've spent 6 years on it. We've got an incredible cast, Fred Thompson, James Remar, Bruce Davison, Oscar-nominated actors. But really, it's going to come down to, will the audience support it?
You know,
we're going to see.
Dude, this is incredible. So let's just dig right into it. Director of The Persecuted, releasing July 18th, 2 days after my birthday. I don't know when it comes to like awesome movie things. I read an old script of it, and I know it's been previewed here, so I kind of know a lot. I don't want to give away too much because I'm very much so trying to be spoiler free, if you will. So how about I let you lead as in the discussion of what the film is about so as not to give away too much?
Sure. You know, Persecuted plays into that House of Cards craze. It's The Fugitive. It's a, you know, a classic political thriller with some edgy, you know, themes with, you know, I think actors, you've never seen a faith-based movie. I don't think any other faith movie, and there's been some big ones that have come out this year, have ever really tried to do something like this. And that's not to flatter the movie. It's a challenge for us. I think we're breaking through a big wall, and, you know, the first one through gets a little bloody. Persecuted, it's about a nationally acclaimed evangelist who stands up for the gospel against intrusive religious reform legislation that would seek to, in the interest of national security, trying to bring all of these religions together by mandate, try to control religious speech and freedom of speech, which I think is a really a hot thing right now for people across the country. Certainly even us being on the air right now is a challenge. So this guy, this evangelist, stands up against it, and even his own peers, his senator, who's been a longtime friend and supporter of the ministry, is pretty offended by this evangelist standing up against it, and so they frame him in the murder and rape of an innocent young girl. And this is a PG-13 movie, by the way, just so you know. But and it's already been rated, and it's a clean, family friendly movie, which I think is sets it apart as well. But he goes on the run after being framed, and he is trying to prove his innocence, which really takes on that fugitive thriller element. But again, like I said, a family friendly thriller with some high caliber actors. I mean, James Remar alone, who you like from Dexter, who many people like from, you know, Francis Ford Coppola movies. Even Francis Ford Coppola had said that he's one of the finest actors out there. For him to, for the first time, to do a faith-based movie for Senator Fred Thompson from Die Hard, Law and Order, Hunt for Red
October,
Bruce Davison from X-Men, Oscar nominee. I mean, you don't see these guys come along,
right?
But I think it's the meeting of a timely thriller with current events that you're seeing at the rip from the headlines feel, as Fox News said, and even, for goodness sake, Politico had said it's ripped from the headlines. Hollywood Reporter has gotten behind it. Variety has gotten behind it. You don't usually see that happen. And I think, again, it presents a challenge to every person listening right now.
Yeah.
Will you come out and, you know, stand for freedom of speech and see this movie and support it?
What's crazy is you're right. It's, I mean, right up in the middle of it. We were just reading about Holly Fisher. I don't know if you've seen her. Holly Hobby Lobby is her tag on Twitter, but she posted a picture of her wearing a pro-life shirt, holding a Chick-fil-A cup, standing in front of Hobby Lobby, and it exploded. It was unbelievable, the backlash she received from, we'll just say the left, but just from, I want to say just from crazies, because there
I'd
was
say some of the stuff they're talking about doing to her, because that's what she did. It's like crazy.
Yeah, it was very scary to see what people were saying in response just to her photo. And so we're in this time where, you know, how far off are we? In fact, that's a big question we're excited to ask to Fred Thompson. We're going to have him on Team Awesome Morning Party. And as a former senator, that's one of the questions I have, is how far off are we really as a nation from this? Because, you know, in the film, he's framed by his own friends, framed by his own government, because saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life is, well, it's a form of hate speech.
It's offensive to a lot of people.
Yeah, it is offensive. So, gosh, dude. Now, this idea has been floating around in your brain for some time. Let's go backwards.
Well, and that's what's shocking is, you know, I sat out, Larry King interviewed me a month or two ago, and that's one of the questions he asked. He said, so did you kind of take this from the current events and all you mentioned about Hobby Lobby and all that stuff? And reality is, I wrote this film 6 years ago. And have been developing it along the way. And it's almost the opposite. It's like the events have caught up to the script in a way. And so people have assigned this value to this rip from the headlines feel of this evangelist who anyone really can relate to, wants to stand up for what they believe. And yet in the form of a Washington thriller, which is, I think, gripping for a lot of people, and now it has emerged for this film, an independent film, to get a wide release of over 700 theaters across the country is really rare. We're releasing through Millennium Entertainment, who just released Woody Allen's recent film, and they only got half as many screens. This is probably the widest release I think they've done, and I think it's a result of, like you say, you know, how people asking that question is, what would I do if I were in that situation? Is this something that could happen to us?
Yeah, and it's something that, obviously, as you said, it's been a hot button issue. But I just think back to, for such a time as this, because
As you said, 6 years. 6 years ago you wrote this. Take us back for those that maybe are wanting to do something in film or wanting to do something and just encouraged because what encouragement would you have for those who...
Well, you're definitely hitting on a hot button for
yeah.
me about that because whether or not you're seeking to make a movie like I was Persecuted and you set out with this vision that seems larger than life. I mean, yeah. even people very close to me looked at me with this script and they said, you know, I don't know. You know, maybe you should try something a little easier first, you know. And I did make two other movies along the way. But this is a vision I believed in passionately, and I feel along the way almost like I wasn't, but I feel like I was persecuted in some ways,
right.
you know, or just shunned simply, just because, you know, for a young guy, 30 years old now, to make a movie dealing with these types of themes as Persecuted has, you know, you've got presidents and senators and nationally acclaimed caliber evangelists and all these people, you know, in an independent film, even a studio film, that would be hardly plausible. But in an independent film, it's like that's laughable. And so now having it come out with guys like Fred Thompson standing behind it, it brings credibility. And there's Gretchen Carlson from Fox News in our movie who brings significant credibility. And I would just say for people who are, you know, standing right now in that position, they have maybe a vision to be a successful musician or a successful artist of any kind, that, you know, you will face those types of, you know, impossibilities and people will tell you, you know, move on. And you know, if you really believe in what you're doing, first of all, you have to examine yourself and see, do I have enough inside of me to pursue this, a strong enough cause? And I really felt that I did. And so, you know, some of the words that really inspired me at a low point for me when I was being rejected, for instance, there was a huge studio that was willing to look at my script as I was kind of shopping it around. And I got my hopes real high, and my agent was excited because he had a close relationship with this major studio. I'm talking about the Big Six, like a big studio.
Yeah.
And they came back after reading the script and hands down said, we don't want anything to do with it. This is not going to happen. But you know, not going to go, and we don't want to be any part of it. I mean, I shed some significant tears that night only because I had my hopes so high.
Right.
And I watched this YouTube video of Russell Crowe giving his Oscar speech for Gladiator, and he's always been an actor that inspired me, but it was the simplicity of his words as he got up there and he said, you know, for me growing up in the far side of the world in Australia, a dream like this seemed nearly impossible. But for someone right now who's standing on the wrong side of advantage, I just want you to know it's possible.
Mm.
And that was enough for me.
Wow.
I can't tell you. I watched that video several times, posted it. But it was just for a guy like him to bring hope and inspiration to others. I want to bring that same type of inspiration.
Yeah.
We're doing a red carpet premiere in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
One of the historic, finest theaters in the country, Arclight Hollywood. We're doing one at the Academy Theater, which is where the Academy reviews are, in New York, on the day of the release on July 18th. And we've got, I mean, incredible celebrity turnout at both of these and all of those trappings. But really beneath all that, it's quite simple because I want this to be an opportunity to inspire others that I'm no different from anyone sitting at home right now or in their car going, you know, he may have been able to do this, but not me. I was that person. Just remember, I was that person. And now with all the, you know, national attention behind it, I still believe that, you know, with faith, anything's possible.
Yeah.
It really has to be rooted in something greater than yourself. And it has to be about something more than yourself.
Yeah.
That you're giving something to others. And a lot of people came along throughout the last 6 years saying, I'm going to make this movie with you. We're going to be partners and producers and all this. And because, as I sensed along the way, they were in it for either their own ego or they were in it for their own money. When they didn't get those things, they fell away. Those people, they just fall away, and they tried to, you know, put a hook in me and rip me open and take what they could. But in it, there were many times where that happened, even not too long ago. But you know, you just, when those people, you come across those people who try to tear you down or try to discourage you, you just, you know, shake the dust off your feet and move on.
Yeah. Dude, it's absolutely inspiring to think about the fact that you are releasing a film in over 700 theaters nationwide on July 18th. Because I remember a time where we were making a little independent film called Thievery Conspiracy.
Yeah.
It was a whole like 12 minutes long and it was the biggest thing in the universe. And here we are years later and you are releasing a major motion picture with, as you said, the caliber of actors in this film. Now, you know, I don't want to compare it to other, I don't even want to say Christian films, religious films, if you will. I don't know, faith-based films. See, I think of Courageous.
They're using the term faith-friendly.
There you go. Faith-friendly. Yeah.
Or like Son of God. Or,
yeah, Son of God. You know, Passion of the Christ.
What's the other one that came out this year?
God's Not Dead. Heaven God's is not, for real.
Yeah. Yeah, because Noah. This is Noah. This is a very different film, as you mentioned. You know, family-friendly, still PG-13, which you know, there's a huge. That's a huge gamut of movies that could be in that PG-13 realm. So talk a little bit about that because you say family friendly. And I'm interested because my boys, you know, 8 and 10 years old, can't see some PG-13s, can see others, you know, because whether it's the latest X-Men film that, you know, I thankfully screened first with F-bombs and, you know, whatever, wondering how those get through, or even the new Transformers film, PG-13. And then there are some other PG-13 films where it's like, okay, cool, I could take them to see Avengers, or I could take them to see, talk about that family-friendly aspect, because I know there are some parents who are going to go, oh, PG-13, no.
Well, I think this is a rare opportunity for families to come out and get their teenagers on board with a movie like this because of that, the House of Cards flavor to it. There's, you know, real suspense, some serious actors from shows like Dexter and Die Hard and X-Men. But getting to the family-friendly aspect, you know, there's not too many movies that I think families can encourage kids to go see or teenagers and allow them to see that have that are clean enough that have very there's very mild violence in this. There's no language in the movie. There's no skin in the movie.
It's
a clean movie for all intents and purposes. There's some mild gunplay. We've been endorsed and backed by the American Family Association. We've been backed by the Dove Foundation with 5 Dove awards. We've gotten Focus on the Family has supported the movie and is promoting it. You know, we are in a unique situation as it relates to that. So you can trust that it's a solid movie that is going to be palatable for your kids. But what's really important to me about it is there's this attitude in the younger generations. And I'm only 30 years old. I'm very close to those youth groups and where our kids are growing up in this. I would call it, a hijacked world or hijacked country in some ways because there's this entitlement attitude out there that freedom and the ability to share the gospel and the ability to share your beliefs will always be there.
Right.
And we just kind of enjoy all of these freedoms, but that could change. And that's something Fred Thompson and I have discussed is that it's rare in the world at large right now, I've discussed with Jay Sekulow of the ACLJ that in most of the world, even in Europe, you can't just get up at a street corner and share your beliefs and expect to not experience any kind of a reaction from it. You could be, and we're on the precipice of that. We're seeing that happen. And I think our youth groups and the teenagers and even younger are totally blind to that.
Right.
And this is a story, Persecuted, it's a thrilling movie, so you can guarantee it's going to get the attention of younger crowds, but it's also going to awaken, I think, the entire country, young people who need to know that if you stand up for the gospel, there could be a cost.
Yeah.
And they need to be prepared to make that choice because if they haven't made that choice, if they're just sort of kind of wavering, you know, kind of like, well, yeah, I can have my cake and eat it too. I can be a Christian and I can also live however we want. You've got to make a choice.
Yeah.
And this is a movie about a man who makes that choice. He pays a price. And in the end, I don't want to give away the ending.
I'm like, no, wait.
but it's worth it. I'll just
say
it's worth it.
Yeah.
And this is why I think every single teenager in America needs to see Persecuted.
Yeah. Dude, talking with Daniel Lesko, director of Persecuted, releasing July 18th. Of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio for information on that. Details, we'll post the trailer and everything. But, man, this is crazy.
Yeah. Now, I have a question, too, because you're talking about making it family-friendly and all that. Now, how hard of a line is it to walk? Because, realistically, most villains and most normal people use language that's not family friendly, or they have motivations, you know, or whatever. None of that is family friendly. So how do you, as a director, I've always just wondered this bit, like, a, you know, because I get it from the musician standpoint or like a lyricist standpoint, and maybe they're very similar, but then like from an author, like we interviewed Ted Decker, and I know you have to go through drafts or whatever as far as he's concerned, but how do you bring realism to like a villain that, and you're keeping it family friendly? Like, how do you get that across? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. It's a great question. And it gets down to the very kind of roots of the film, and even goes deeper than just the directing, starting with the story and the screenplay. And it's something that I think is missed in most faith-based movies, which is why I think of it kind of like the secret weapon of Persecuted, because it's built on a classic three-act structure. It deals with classic archetypes that have been around since the biblical age. You know, you've got your protagonist, your antagonist, and you've got your shapeshifter, and you've got your jesters and your allies and your enemies. But it's centered around Persecuted is the essence, is at its essence, the very purest conflict, because you've got this evangelist who his sole desire is to preach the gospel, and you've got this senator who is trying to merge all of these religions into one and silence him. And so if you take his ability away to preach the gospel and you send him on the run, and you've got some significant stakes to be raised, and so it doesn't have to rely on cheap tricks.
Gotcha.
And that's what it really comes down to, is this movie, you can't have conflict without story, or you can't have story without conflict, as Robert McKee has said. And so a lot of movies, what you see, and I discussed this at the Variety Summit recently, they said, what makes Persecuted so different? A lot of faith-based movies will make the mistake of just shoving one giant tunnel of light at you.
Yeah.
And then the antithesis is these Hollywood blockbusters that, you know, force all darkness. I think if you just make it completely dark, but if you're putting an equal amount of attention into the protagonist and antagonist as we do in the movie, people watch the movie, and it's amazing. We've done over 25 test screenings across the country, including for harsh left Hollywood critics like Variety and Hollywood Report, and they walk out of it and they go, I don't know what it is, but it never dragged. It feels like a Hitchcockian thriller, and I was never bored throughout it, and I feel drawn in, and I actually want to watch it again. They said this is a rare, you know, I actually feel like watching it. I enjoy watching it more and more, but there's layers in the movie. There's symbolism in the movie that deal with these classic archetypes. And I think as a result, if you go back to some of the great Hitchcock movies, you don't have to rely on foul language. You don't have to rely on nudity and skin. You've got real suspense. There's kind of this analogy about the movie that Hitchcock used to use in his movies. He would say, you know, if you set a couple down at a table in your movie and you just got them sitting there and you plant a bomb under that couple's table at the dinner table, and you show the audience that bomb from the very beginning, you can have that couple talk about baseball all day long. And as long as that audience knows that that bomb is there and it's going to go off at some point, they're going to be engaged and they're going to be thrilled. So that's really a key aspect of the that was Hitchcock's kind of key to suspense. He would always introduce the threat early on and do it so significantly that you're going to engage the audience on a suspenseful level, you know, on particularly any subject. And in this case, I think it's really gripping.
That's awesome.
I don't think you've seen a movie centered around a character who's so committed to his beliefs for the gospel, and yet it doesn't come off as preachy.
Right.
And it doesn't because of that. There's real suspense and real conflict in the fabric of the story.
Now, talk a little bit about the actors, because we talk about James Remar. Man, incredible actor. These people involved, because I know if we're – I hate to compare. I really do hate to compare, because I don't believe Persecuted should be in that, you know, quote-unquote Christian film bubble, if you will. But – being a faith-based type film, working with these actors who aren't necessarily, and I don't know any of them, but what was it like working with these actors, and are they believers? Because I know a lot of times that's part of the, I hate to call it a problem, part of the problem is you get these Christian films who say, okay, now we can only hire Christian cameramen, and we can only hire Christian actors, and we can only hire Christian this. What did James Remar, you know, through this film, was there any struggle? Was there any, how real is this? Or in turn, did it bring about some amazing conversations for some of these guys who are just actors?
Well, as you say, in Persecuted, it's a tremendous challenge to have high conflict, but make a clean movie, a PG-13 movie that's palatable and supported by, you know, major Christian organizations like the American Family Association. And that's, I think, why a lot of times movies fail to attract actors like James Remar,
right,
Bruce Davison, and Fred Thompson. But what they said is that, you know, we're really attracted to the conflict and the story. We just think it's a compelling story, and it's great material for actors. And so they came in and really, really open-minded. I'll say that some of the actors in the movie certainly have deeply held spiritual beliefs, and others of them were just interested. And I think that it provided an opportunity for some significant conversation, especially because this deals with not just potential threats at large against our freedom of speech as this man stands up for the gospel, and it does, but it also deals with some of the vulnerabilities within the church. Because in this story, our protagonist, John Luther, played by James Remar, he is not just betrayed by the senator and this whole government institution. He's also turned on by his own ministry. His own organization goes along with this legislation, turns their back on him, and it's kind of like, you know, the Judas and the disciples who could kind of just slip away. And so I think it providing that honesty and balance to the story.
Right.
It made it open and available for some serious actors to get involved with it, because we weren't just pointing the finger. It's a real story. It's a real situation. So yes, a question, you know, did it provide for conversation? It did. But it was and still is, I think, you know, a significant point of wrestling for a lot of these actors. And so I think it's good to continue to think and pray for them, you know, as we go forward.
Yeah, incredible. Daniel Lesko, director of Persecuted, releasing July 18th nationwide. And man, I couldn't be more proud. I'm just stoked to see this happening and come
to
fruition.
I've never met you, and I'm proud of you. I think it's cool, too, because one of the big complaints that we always hear about, or at least I've always heard about faith-based films, is they try to just fit the entire, like, it's basically a gospel presentation in disguise, you know? And it sounds like...
And people can sniff that out.
Yeah.
They sense it. The audiences are smart. They know when they're being force-fed.
I mean, you look at, like, even Noah, and I don't think it was a huge motivation, but you had people immediately saying, well, there's definitely, like, some environmental protection stuff going, like, undertone.
Yeah.
If you had any, like, Joe Schmo moviegoer saying, I think they want me to watch the environment more.
Right.
You know? But those are in, I realize those are in every film.
Right.
But the big issue that we've seen from reviews and seeing them myself, I mean, I have a hard time watching Christian movies because halfway through I'm just like, come on, please. Because you have this, like, am I going to live?
Right.
You know, and it's just like, what are you doing? But it sounds like you're walking that balance that you were talking about. That's so important.
And it's a difficult challenge. We hope the audiences will respond
yeah.
Because, you know, if you are confident in the truth and confident in the light, then we shouldn't be afraid of presenting the darkness. The Bible isn't shy about that. It says, here's the light, here's the darkness. Make your choice.
Yeah.
And that's what this movie is intended to do. At the end, it's not that we're shy about presenting the truth of the gospel. It's absolutely the core and the point of it. But if you have that, you can present the darkness without leading people to stumble, and that's a challenge. At the end, it's the audience's choice to make the decision. You know, in the sort of the church, you know, the pastor doesn't do an altar call and force people up there. You have to come up here right now. You know, it's your choice at the end of the day, and we hope that people make the choice to support persecuted.
Yeah, there you go.
That's awesome. It lines up, too, with the station.
Absolutely.
A lot of times if you just I think because you say, like, pastors don't force people to come up, but I grew up you'll see, Tupelo, Mississippi, you'll be there soon. and that was a thing. It was like, come up here right now, you know, and then you got the pastor who's losing his mind out there, like, after the service, because I don't know why God didn't save nobody today.
Right.
And all the time it's just like, you know, pressure. But we're finding out, especially nowadays, and especially with our station, that if you just kind of put it out there for people to think about, you know, and we're playing artists that are secular artists, if you call it that, or like atheists or whatever.
Yeah, Coldplay, Mumford & Sons, some of the artists we play on.
And then we're also playing Christian artists. And it's kind of like, this is a good song. No matter what you believe, this is a good song. Think about it. Listen to the song and think about it.
Yeah.
And from your believer, they will immediately, hopefully, be able to, you know, interpret that with a Christian, this is kind of talking about my relationship with God or my relationship with this person and how I'm. And for the non-believer, they hear a good song, and then it's like these songs that make them question things.
Well, it's authentic. I think it comes down to the honesty of the art.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're saying. You don't have to force feed the gospel on something, because that's what we're getting with, you know, in the Christian music industry. A lot of it's mediocre. It's kind of crap because people are force feeding that same formula.
It's fear-based.
Yeah. Over and over. And so when you do that, you just get mediocre crap. And it sounds
and you
like,
only preach to the choir, too, because nobody with a brain is going to listen.
Because they see the undertone. And they're like, well, no, I don't believe that, so I'm done with this.
Yep.
You know, so you have like that core audience, like the only core audience that will go see the Christian music or movies, rather, and they're posting on Facebook, yo, I saw this movie the other day. It was great. Everybody go see it, blah, blah, blah. And then you have like persecuted, or you have the guy, I can't remember his name right now, but he's Deliver Us From Evil.
Eric
Bana.
Or the director.
Director's a believer.
He's a believer, and he believes God wants him to showcase the actual dark side, like the real thing, you know?
Shining light
on. And by the way, if you go see Deliver Us From Evil, you'll see the trailer for
No way!
So go see it.
There you go. See, this guy, like, that's what kind of sets him apart, and I will not go see Deliver Us from Evil because it looks terrifying.
It does look terrifying.
We watched the trailer. I'm like, we're going, man. He's a believer. He's shedding light on the spiritual warfare.
I was like, I'll support him from right here, not seeing that movie. I'm not going to go. But it's you know, so that's like a different, it's real though. It's authentic. He approaches it from, this is the real thing.
Yeah.
This isn't like Jason running around chasing you with a machete or whatever. This is the actual demonic world.
Yeah.
But throughout even that movie, from what we've been told, there's like this message, like there's a greater hope.
Right.
And that's kind of where he wants to. I mean, Emily Rose, he did that movie. And that's an extreme example because those aren't forever. Emily Rose freaked me forever.
Scary.
You know?
Yeah. Well, any movie like that scares me because we know that that's real. It's a real aspect of.
But hitting on the, like the Hitchcockian things and like real suspense. So you don't have to depend on cheap tricks. You know, that makes me want to come see it because it's like, oh, well, okay, this is legit. This is authentic. And I can relate to it too because of all the freedom of speech stuff and, you know, that we're constantly being bombarded with nowadays. But yeah, I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
It's really, really cool.
Daniel, let's go.
Well, let me say this, if I can, in closing.
Absolutely.
You know, Persecuted is opening on July 18th, 700 theaters. Really, at this point, it's in the audience's hands. We need people to stand up. And the way that they can actually do that right now, as we've learned, and we have an incredible team around this movie, is by going on Facebook and going to our page, Persecuted. And the URL is facebook.com/persecutedmovie. And share our trailer with all of your friends. A theatrical trailer for Persecuted reached the number one most popular trailer on iTunes.
Saw that, yeah.
For an independent film, it's pretty rare for that to happen. But what we found is that this is a unique factor, that one of the single determining factors that you can distinguish of whether a movie is successful is whether or not people are sharing the trailer on Facebook. Because if you are willing to go and share that with your friends, it shows that you're serious about going to see the movie.
Yeah.
And so we would really ask that people would go to our Facebook page and share that trailer with everybody as often as you can.
I got a great idea. Here we go. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. We will post the trailer on our Facebook page. And if you share that, we've got t-shirts for the first however many people.
Yeah.
We got a handful of Persecuted t-shirts. So you got to get to our Facebook page. Absolutely. Yeah. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. If you share the link for the trailer, we're
going to
hook you up with we're going to hook you up with a t-shirt. But you got to do it right now. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Get there, check out the trailer, and share it. We'll hook you up with a t-shirt. So there you go.
Sounds good.
Daniel!
Yeah.
Awesome hanging out with you, man.
With you guys. This was amazing. A deep discussion.
I know. It was good.
Excited to hear your thoughts.
There you go. July 18th, Persecuted in theaters. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Here we go.
I'll have that party, and it'll be fun.
This is going to be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, because a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever.
Let's take one final look at traffic before we go. Fun interview.
Yeah, dude.
Daniel's a really cool guy. Good grief. What's happening? Okay, accident Montgomery Boulevard East at San Mateo Boulevard. We have traffic lights out Wyoming Boulevard between Candelaria and Osuna Road. Also, an accident Bridge Boulevard East at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. Watch out for that stuff, guys. Also, construction I-25 in Passaic. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, right here on the Calvary campus. Phone number 505-338-3669. Dude, shout out. Big
shout
thanks.
Out.
Daniel!
Daniel!
You're awesome!
We love you. Goodbye. We'll see you soon.
Yes.
Daniel has hooked us up. You've probably heard us talking about it all morning, but we're very excited. Next week, we get to fly out. We'll be at the red carpet premiere in L.A. or in Hollywood. For Persecuted, hopefully getting some interviews with some of the cast and some of the crew, and just chilling and looking good.
Yeah, we're really, really excited about that. And as we said, just had a chance to talk with Daniel. And if you get to our Facebook page, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio, share the link there with the trailer for Persecuted.
Share it.
The first 10, we've got...
Whoa! We've already had 11. It's gone.
It's gone. Just like that.
Okay.
Okay, so here's what I need. Here's what we
Holy
need.
Holy crap.
Sharers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we'll just pull them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good grief. Good grief.
Here's what we need. Studio@mystaticradio.com. Wow, dude.
That was fast.
Yeah.
Hey, well done, people.
Studio@mystaticradio.com. What we need you to do is send us an email with all of your information if you're local to Albuquerque. Just give us your phone number. We'll call you back. But the first 10 people who shared it, you guys, we've got a prize pack with a t-shirt. We've got a poster. We've got the novelization of the film autographed by Daniel Lesko, the director of the movie.
Yeah, we're not just going to give t-shirts. We upped it. We decided a while ago we're going to up the ante. So t-shirt, poster, and a novelization.
And if you weren't one of the first 10, keep sharing it anyways.
Yeah, keep
because,
sharing.
Because it is important. So we're excited for this. Thanks to everybody who immediately shared it. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We took like a 2-minute break.
And it was like, bam! That's great, though. Guys, keep sharing it, because even if you don't get a prize pack, I know Daniel would appreciate it if he did.
More chances for that coming up. Don't worry. We got loads of t-shirts and novelizations of said film and movie posters and all that good stuff. Big thanks once again, persecutedmovie.com, for being a part of Team Awesome Morning Party, sponsoring the show.
Yeah.
And,
and maybe you're a local business and you're like, dang, they sure are talking about their title sponsor a lot. Hint, hint. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you tune into our webcam, you will see. It's just nuts.
It's inundated in here. So.
inundated. We are. We are not persecuted. Well, we're almost persecuted by the persecuted movie, except not at all.
It's hilarious.
But anyway, and here's the thing, guys. Steve-O and I still haven't seen this movie.
I know. We're excited. It releases July 18th, and we will be there for the premiere in L.A. next Wednesday on my birthday.
Birthday. The question is this going to be the Christian movie that changes the game for quote-unquote Christian movies?
We shall see.
We will see.
All right. If you missed any part of the show, mystaticradio.com/mornings. Get there. Check it out. We're going to leave you with some music today because we already took our break. But again, if you are one of those first 10 people who shared it, we need your information. Studio@mystaticradio.com. We're going to hook you up. That's it for us. We leave you with some Least of These.
Nice.
It's a joyful noise, which is what I do regularly.
Hey.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Goodbye.
Static.
What does it mean? Have we all forgotten what it is to breathe?
From Millennium Entertainment, what if standing for your faith stood in the way of evil?
Cannot water down the gospel to advance anybody's political agenda.
Evangelist John Luther opposes the sweeping religious reform in America and is framed for murder to silence him. Now a fugitive, his mission brings him face to face with the coming storm of persecution that will threaten the Christian community. Persecuted, starring Fred Thompson, James Remar, and Natalie Grant. Rated PG-13. Parents strongly cautioned. In theaters July 18th.
The Team Awesome Morning Party Podcast. Brought to you by Persecuted. In theaters July 18th. More info online at PersecutedMovie.com. And get your tickets now at Fandango.com.